The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reporting today that as of the end of January, 102 people in this country have measles. They are in 14 states, and most were not vaccinated. As you probably heard, the issue of vaccinations has become political, with some politicians saying there should be parental choice when it comes to vaccines. Jason Schwartz is a bioethicist who studies vaccine policy at the Princeton University Center for Human Values. He's with us from WHYY in Philadelphia. Jason, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, how concerned are you about an outbreak, a widespread outbreak of measles at this point?
The indications we have is that we should be very much concerned. We have a growing number of cases in a growing number of states, and a risk that comes from clusters of the community where vaccination rates are not what they ought to be. That means that large numbers of children are at risk of this easily preventable disease. So I think the reason for concern that we're seeing on the part of the public health community is well-founded.
Well, let's talk about some of those clusters of the community that might be at greater risk. And one of them is babies, because they're not vaccinated until they're a year old. Why is that?
The recommendations that come from the public health community says wait until 12 months for that first dose. And that's because that in that first year of life, there are still immune protection that comes from babies' mothers. And that can interfere with the vaccine being as effective as we'd like it to be, particularly providing that lifelong protection that we'd want. So in that first year of life, the evidence suggests holding off on vaccination and then essentially relying on the high rates of vaccination in a community to protect those children until they can receive the vaccines themselves.
What about adults? Who in the American adult population is not vaccinated for measles?
In some cases, it's generally the oldest population, the generations and who were in the 1950s and 1960s or before then, who received measles the old-fashioned way before the vaccines became available. And generally, in that population, it's thought that vaccination isn't necessary. Those older adults who are in a more recent age group here are recommended to have at least received one dose of the vaccine over time. But those vaccination rates there are perhaps a secondary concern to what we see in these youngest age groups right now in terms of young children and school-age children, where this outbreak poses the most significant risk.
And there are no federal vaccine mandates. Do you think that there should be?
That's a good question. So in our federalist system here, the federal government helps set the recommendations for whom vaccines are most recommended. And then it's left to each state and in some cases to municipalities to set the schedule for which vaccines are required. And these requirements only apply to school-age children or children attending daycare. And that's an attempt to balance those federal and state powers, and the state vaccination requirements, particularly with respect to measles, are pretty uniform in this case here. And it seems to be that while there are weaknesses with our vaccine requirements in terms of their enforcement, in terms of the ability to opt out of these requirements for non-medical exemptions, the requirements themselves resting at the state level don't in themselves present an obstacle to high vaccination rates.
What would be a non-medical exemption that makes sense in your view?
The questions as they currently exist allow parents who have either religious views or non-religious philosophical views, they're sometimes called, to opt out of these vaccines. What the consensus seems to be is that those policies are far too broad, that in some cases simply checking a form or signing a statement is enough for your child not to receive these vaccines that are recommended for them. So the consensus clearly needs to be that if we want to preserve some opt-out for parents with the strongest views, religious or otherwise, about vaccines, at the very least we need to tighten the policies that exist in most states to ensure that we're not also providing means for parents who have misunderstandings about vaccines, who have reservations that perhaps can be resolved with physicians. So at the very least, the thought is that the exemption procedures need to be tightened. But there are some who believe that the non-medical exemptions ought to be eliminated entirely because of the clear benefits that vaccines present both to children and to those around them.
I want to ask you about one more thing, and that's the politics of all this, because this has certainly entered into the race for the White House in 2016. We've heard from a number of potential candidates, including New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Here's what he said on CNBC.
I've heard of many tragic cases of walking, talking, normal children who wound up with profound mental disorders after vaccines. I'm not arguing vaccines are a bad idea. I think they're a good thing. But I think the parents own the children, and it is an issue of freedom.
Jason Schwartz, what do you make of that?
Yeah, those statements from the governor and senator over the last few days are really discouraging to the important need to send an unambiguous message about the value of vaccines for children and for their communities here. We know that vaccines are exceedingly well tested. Their safety is well monitored, that any allegations about significant adverse events associated with vaccines have been disproven again and again. And for these public officials to complicate what needs to be a clear message about the continuing importance and value of vaccines against measles and other childhood diseases really is disappointing and discouraging to hear.
That's Jason Schwartz, a bioethicist who studies vaccine policy at the Princeton University Center for Human Values. Jason Schwartz, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.